So today our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we will be reading verses 1 through 13. But before we do that, I invite you to pray with me. Lord our God, thank you that indeed the greatest gift of all is love. And as we're about to read your word and what it says about love and receive the message you have for us this morning, I pray that you will bless us with your word, that you will open our lives and our hearts to be receptive, and that we will indeed be changed by your word, and more specifically by your love. So speak to us now, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. So if you have a smartphone, right, then you have some apps on it. An app is just short for application. Now I checked my phone and believe it or not, I have 312 apps on my phone. 312. I mean, it sounds like a lot, right? But if you consider that there are more than 2 million different apps out there, it's not that many. So right now, there's probably an app for anything you can think of. Some for better productivity, some for wasting time, but all of them have become an ever-present part of our lives. Here's the thing about apps, though. An app is only as useful as the next update from the developer. And we're constantly being reminded to download the next update. Every day I have an alert on my phone that tells me to update some apps. And the idea is that the app will do better when the update is installed. Maybe it will have less bugs, or perhaps the update enhances the security features. Maybe the app has been remodeled with new graphics, or it has a cooler feature or whatever. And sometimes, unless you update the app, will simply not work. And even if that's not the case, if you use apps, at some point you must update. It's just the way it works. So, phones. I mean, we're all familiar with updates on our phones. But what about your life? Do you think your life needs any updates? Well, the answer is yes. You need a very important update, and it's called the love update. And if you don't get it, and if you don't have it, and if you don't use it, then nothing else matters, and nothing else works. So let's take a closer look at this important love app and work on the download of it in your life so that you can gain the benefits that go with it. Now, when we talk about apps, I think, you know, we will all agree that they've enabled us to be better connected electronically. I mean, social media apps like Facebook and Snapchat and WhatsApp, and now our church app, they all allow us to be connected with friends and family, church family, by electronic means. But I think you will also agree they haven't necessarily made us into better and more compassionate people. They haven't caused us to be more loving people. I mean, you might add a comment to a distant friend's Facebook post that offers sympathy for her illness. But while you're typing, you might ignore the distressed person sitting next to you in the waiting room. You can Instagram a picture of your delicious dinner while walking past the hungry, homeless person on the street. So this love update, you know, goes deeper, okay? It's not about your phone or your presence on social media. It's really about your life. It's about your heart. And what we see in our scripture passage for today is that Paul was dealing with an app problem in Corinth. App as in the application of Christianity. Because even though there was not a cell tower in sight, the Corinthians, instead of acting like the Church of Jesus Christ, were acting like a bunch of selfie-taking narcissists. And the list of problems in Corinth was not unlike the ones we face in our 21st century wireless world today. Because when you read through Paul's letter to the Corinthians, you will see in chapter 1 that there were some serious divisions and quarrels in the Corinthian church. You'll notice in chapter 3 that they were obsessed with celebrity teachers, always posting sound bites from their favorites. Some favored Paul, others Apollos. And so Paul is saying to them, "We're only God's servants. We're just planting the seeds in your life. Stop quarreling about who is better. It is God who makes the seeds grow." Chapter 5 points out that they seem to have a relaxed view of sexual ethics. Instead of mourning their sexual immorality in sorrow and shame, they were somehow proud of it. Members of the same church, we see in chapter 6, were suing one another. So think about that, members of the same church suing one another. And when you look at chapter 8, you could say that they may have Snapchatted pictures of food sacrificed to idols to those who were trying to eat kosher. And Paul says to them, "Be careful that your freedom as Christians does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble." And then in chapter 11, it tells us that the wealthier members of the community might have Instagrammed pictures of the Lord's Supper feast before their poorer neighbors got there and missed out on all the food. And so Paul says to them, "When you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. Don't hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others." And so as you can see, they were dealing with some serious issues. The church was missing out on the richness of real Christian community. And so Paul messages them and he says to them, "You guys need an update. You need a critical update. One that will not only make your community run more smoothly and in a more Christ-like manner, but an update that will also beef up your spiritual security. Something that will make the church more user-friendly to outsiders. So what you need is the love update. Or even more specific, the agape update. So I want us to look at the specifics of this update. But before we talk about the details, I just need to remind you that, you know, about something that you probably know, okay? It's something you've most likely heard somewhere along your Christian journey, but I need to still make sure that you know this and still get it. In our world today, we use one word to describe love, one word for some widely ranging understandings of love. And so I will say, you know what? I just love this new tennis app on my phone. Or I might say, man, I just love, you know, this margarita pizza from Grimaldi's. It's really, really good. And then in the next sentence, I will say, I really love my wife. I do. I love her. Or I will say to someone, you know what? I love God because He's changed my life. It's the same verb, but with very, very different meanings. Or at least I hope so. Because when I say I love pizza and I love God, hopefully it will be a different kind of love. Now, in Paul's time, and more specifically in the Greek language, there were several different words and different choices for love. And these different words for love communicated its meaning more clearly in context. And so there's the word philia, which is a friendship love, a brotherly love, like the kind of friendship love you might have with someone on the Facebook app. And there's storge, which is familial love, like between a parent and a child, the kind of parental love your mom might send you when you post something cute on Pinterest. Then there's eros, which is sexual love, romantic love, the kind of romantic love you might look for on the Match.com app. And then there's the word that Paul uses here in 1 Corinthians 13, and that is the word agape. Agape is the kind of love that is less about typing your feelings in cute emojis. It is God's love. It is the love God gives. It's about willful, sacrificial, unconditional, self-giving love. And so in this famous chapter, Paul is really laying out the details of this kind of love, God's sacrificial love. He's unpacking this particular love update, the kind of love that turns the attention from taking selfies to taking action on behalf of others. A giving love, a selfless love. And he says, you know what? You are gifted. The Holy Spirit has given each one of you a gift. There are apostles. There are prophets. There are teachers. Those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages, you all form the body of Christ. And it's good that you have these different gifts, and you should earnestly desire these helpful gifts. And then he says in verse 31, but now, let me show you a way of life that's best of all. He says, let me lay out a far better way for you. Let me show you the best way of all. The life update you really, really need. Because without this update, it doesn't really work. It's okay to be gifted, and you are gifted, he says. But what you need is the one gift that makes all of them work. And that is the gift of love. more specifically, agape love, God's love. So Paul says to this group of Christ followers and to us, to the people of the Community Church of Douglaston, I may speak in, you know, different languages of people or even angels, but if I do not have love, I'm only a noisy bell or a crashing cymbal. In other words, you may have the Duolingo app and master all the different languages offered and speak French and Italian and Spanish and German and Chinese fluently. But so what if you don't have love? He goes on and he says, I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all the secret things of God, and I may have faith so great I can move mountains. But if I do not have love, then I'm nothing. You may gain all the knowledge available on Wikipedia, but it's worthless if you don't have God's love. It says, I may give everything I have away, and I may even give my body as an offering to be burned, but I gain nothing if I do not have love. You can give away your iPhone 13 to someone in need and go back to a flip phone and give away all you have for that matter. But it will gain you absolutely nothing if you don't have love. But, he says, if you embrace God's love, well, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it's not proud. Love is not rude. It's not selfish. It does not get upset with others. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. Love takes no pleasure in evil but rejoices over the truth. Love patiently accepts all things. It always trusts, always hopes. Love never ends. So if you invite the Holy Spirit to install it into your heart, if you update your life with the agape update, then you will become patient and you will become kind and you will be less jealous and not want what you don't have. You won't brag and boast and have a swelled head. You will be less rude. You will be less irritable and not keep a record of the wrongs and sins of other people. You will value the truth and you will condemn injustice. You won't give up and you won't lose faith. That's what happens when you allow God's Spirit to install His sacrificial love into your life. Agape is the kind of love that enables couples to stay together in marriage for, you know, 5 years and 15 years and 25 years and 30 years and 40 years and 45 years. Because a marriage can only work when people are willing to sacrifice for the other in love. And only God's love makes that possible. It's the love that enables two people on completely opposite sides of politics to remain friends, who respect each other and love each other because they share something much more important, and that is agape. It's the kind of love that makes you compassionate towards those who are struggling, to those who are less fortunate and different, and it enables you to treat them with dignity. It's the kind of love that enables you to welcome a stranger or a friend or a fellow member with open arms in God's church. It's the kind of love that enables us to look beyond ourselves and our own wants to unselfishly do something for our community or our church. the kind of love that enables us to overcome conflict in our relationships and in the church and in our denomination. It is sacrificial love, the kind of love God has for us. You see, in the end, everything will fade away and become less useful and useless and obsolete. Language and wisdom, possessions and everything else. But three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And that's what the Corinthian church needed. And that is what we need today: love, agape, God's sacrificial love, a love that only God can give, the greatest gift there is. What we need more than anything else in this world is the agape love update. And God wants to install it in your heart. And he wants to apply it to your life. It's the one app you can't do without. It's the one thing that enables our community of faith to bear and hope and endure all things for one another and for Jesus Christ. Agape. Open your heart and your life to receive God's love, because it will last forever. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you for your word and thank you for your love. A self-giving, sacrificial, unconditional love that you have for us and that you showed to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself and died for our sins, because that's how much you love us and he loves us. I pray, Father, that this sacrificial love of you, that this will come into our lives and spill over into our relationships and how we deal with and treat each other, so that we can show your love to one another and to the world. May you change whatever love we have into agape, the sacrificial love, the love that you are. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.